The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the hosts. We advise you to go out and think for yourself.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Clayera. This is episode 6.
Yes, and Conversations on Shinto.
Mm-hmm. We're two friends and fellow practitioners of Shinto in the Anglosphere talk about their faith, its cultural and historical and other contexts as we try to bring knowledge and community to others. I am Zoe Tanner, and joining me as always is the ever indomitable
Dr. Nairi Bakalyan. I am glad to be here, Zoe. It's good to be live on Twitch for a change.
Yep. Yep. Already dead off the bat here. We have a word ban, folks. And this is live for Queers versus Transphobia here. Jax has already banned a word, and we are still trying to figure out the layers here at this time. So beg pardon, everyone, while we have a bit of a break between our normal here.
Tiltify alerts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the alerts overlay should be at the very top now. But the progress bar does show a $10 donation.
And what was the word that I'm banned from, Nairi?
I do not see a word. If there was a word, I do not see one specified.
All right, Jax, for your. I'm going to hold you to your word on this here. What was the word?
It's
I see.
Interesting.
That is a word to pick there, Jax. I will remember this.
I mean, you could switch languages and use ano.
Ano. Anyway, so...
Anyway,
before we even begin with this here, we are talking about how our identities, our queer identities, intersect with us in Shinto. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Jack? Yeah. So, because this is important. This is an important conversation to have, not only in Pride Month, but also as queer people who have a religious affiliation. We all too often will encounter some measure of confusion from fellow queers who are puzzled as to why we have a religious affiliation at all. But therein lies the rub.
Indeed, indeed. So, Doc, why don't you start off with this here on... describing your own queerness here.
Okay, so there's going to be some layers that I don't talk about here because I don't know all of you very closely, but I'm going to try and give the broad overview. So I am a trans woman, and I am also a lesbian. I embrace the term dyke. I know that's not for everyone, but this is something I'm very proud of. Now more than ever, I feel that it is important that I use that word and I be unashamed about it. So that's sort of the broad overview of my particular flavor of queerness. Do you want me to start going a little bit into the intersection with Shinto there? Or?
Let's save that till both of us have our moments.
Okay, so
almost had me there. So,
oh man, we're in trouble.
Oh, Doc, you are in trouble. I'm in trouble. You're fine. I'm in danger, everyone. Anyway, think of the children. Well, think of the fellow queers. Hi, I am Zoe. I am. For the longest time, I thought of myself just as a non-binary woman. And a lot of that was because of shame and everything here, and that's perfectly fine that, you know, you can be a non-binary woman and everything. But in my case, I kind of just had a bit of a sit down with myself, talked to myself in the mirror this Sunday, and finally just kind of said, no, I'm actually very much a gender fluid being. And today I have decided that I am going to just present to all of you as more the masculine side of myself here. The pronouns for that are still she, her. I am terrible at being a guy, so I can't do he, him at all. But she, her, they, them, it, it's. And I think that's really wonderful.
Yes. Yes. And you are in good company with so many beings in not only in Shinto, but in Japanese folklore at large.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely indeed. Now, that said, let's actually do take a bit of a moment here and talk about the intersections of our identity with our faith, shall we?
Yes.
Do you want to go first, or should I go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. So, with mine in particular, my Ujigami-sama is Onari Okami. And Onari Okami is not bound down to just one gender presentation. In fact, a lot of people tend to say that she, and generally I use she, her for my Ujigami-sama. But there are those amongst members of my faith who say that she, her doesn't apply to Onari Okami because Onari Okami visits them as he, him. And that's perfectly valid. And there are others who will also say that Onari Okami visits them as a they, them. And what I mean by this is Onari Okami has three main ways of presentation as a human, though there have been times where she has been a dragon and a spider. And that is a beautiful young lady, a wise old man, or an androgynous bodhisattva. And in my case here, sitting here before you all as a masculine she, her, I'm not going to use that word. That word's a little too spicy for Twitch, let's say. But sitting here before all of you as a masculine presenting she, her person, I have to just say that that lines up with how I feel my Ujigami-sama is. Fluid in presentation, fluid in how she wants to appear. Doc, do you want to take a swing here, or should I continue? Should I stall for time?
I should, just to be clear, because our OBS to Discord setup over here is currently held together by the digital equivalent of bits of string.
And glue.
I'm using my phone to check on anything people are saying, either on the Discord side or on the Twitter side.
Makes sense.
All right, so sort of to give an equivalent introduction here. So I am an Ujigo of Kamioka Hachiman Shrine in Sendai. My Ujigami-sama is Hachiman Okami-sama, and Hachiman Okami-sama, depending on what shrine you're at, is it can either be unitary or triune. I hesitate to use the word trinity because it's so loaded.
Oh yeah, especially with the Christianity these days.
Yeah, but Hachiman Okami, broadly stated, like the term, when you hear the term Hachiman Okami, this is usually three kami enshrined together as sort of a collective title. But the deity, the kami-sama who was the original Kami at the center of that triad, who is enshrined in the center seat at the head shrine in Kyushu, in Usajingu, is Himekami-sama, who I think of as the mother in battle. And, you know, I, in as much as I would rather not be an actual mother, like a, you know, I can't, unfortunately, give birth myself, but, you know, in as much as I would probably, I'm probably not going to be a mother, you know, the image of the mother in the battlefield, has been a great comfort to me. I say that my shorthand usually for articulating my identity is that I'm a binary trans woman, but like I also like to say that for me femininity is like winged eyeliner sharp enough to stab with,
mm-hmm.
or a flaming sword, and you know, for me, the image of Himekami-sama being, you know, the mother in battle, being, you know, in the case of Kameoka Hachiman Shrine, the divine who is the kami parent of House Date of Sendai, has been a great comfort to me, not only in my transition, but also in my, feelings of, you know, like my sense of home, you know, when I think of Sendai, when I think of my old days there, when I think of how that has defined me, how it has pointed my life. But it really, like, growing up as I did in a family where I had, female authority figures in my life who were, you know, perhaps not the best example, it has done more for me as a queer woman than I would, than I can probably, like, concisely articulate, to have this being to whom I can look, who is not only feminine and, but also, possessed of authority and I like to explain her as, like, imagine, the archetypal, like, lesbian aunt drives the Subaru, you know, takes the kids to the soccer match, but has the handgun in the glove compartment.
That's a fair point. And also, Caitlin has just described, so sharp it could kill a man is how the ideal eyeliner was first described to me. And honestly, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing some right now, but it's also just very much theater presentation stuff. Yeah, it's red because it's me, let's be real here.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's rather fitting also that you say that because I learned how to do my eyeliner from a sniper.
You never told me that. Holy crap.
I didn't? Oh my god.
Wow, okay, that's wild.
Yeah, it's true. I learned how to do my eyeliner from a sniper who had served in Montgomery's army at El Alamein, fighting the Nazis in North Africa, who then went on to become a 707 pilot, a 707 crew chief, like a head maintenance guy. At Beirut International, got run over by a 707.
That's
and then
unlucky.
became a printer and photographer.
Fair enough.
So he pulled me aside one day. We were talking about photography, and he said, "Nairi, it's funny. The ideal technique that I have found for not only shooting but also photography is that you have to take the shot by the count of, you have to breathe in and take the shot by the count of three, because after that your hands shake."
Mm-hmm.
And so I applied that to my photography, and then I applied it to my art, and then I applied it to my eyeliner. So, and get this, the guy's last name was Kardashian. So I learned how to do my eyeliner from a Kardashian who was a sniper.
Nice.
Yes!
That is so you. I'm not gonna lie. But I guess also just to go off on my Ujigami-sama and to be more specific than just say Onari Okami, Uka no Mitama no Okami-sama is the one that I generally refer to when I say Onari Okami. Again, Gimitama, we're not getting into that in this episode, but we are just talking about like the queer identity and how it is with gender fluid beings. And again, Uka no Mitama. Well, I'm having a struggle here, folks.
You got this. You can do it.
All right. Let's take another round.
I believe in you.
Uka no Mitama no Okami sama.
Yay!
Hey, stuck the landing. I hope.
Yes.
Screaming. Anyway. One of the more interesting stories that I still find really fun to tell again is that there was a swordsmith who came up to Fushimi Inari and was commissioned by, I think, the Emperor? And correct me if I'm wrong, Doc, on this one. I think this is a common enough tale that people probably know.
Yeah, this is the one that became the Null play.
Yeah.
Also, I hear another donation, so Jax, if you would let us know what the current banned word is.
Oh, yes, please. Make me suffer.
Sometimes samsara is enjoyable.
Oh!
Okay.
Oh, I see. Wow, that's rude.
The English word no or the Japanese word no?
I think both. How is the audience going to tell?
Yes, hashtag.
Oh, screaming indeed.
Screaming indeed.
All right. We're going to be going till about 23 minutes on the podcast here, I guess, Talk. Anyway. So, my Ujigami-sama. Again, Fushimi Inari, this swordsmith, comes up and starts praying and saying, hey, look, I don't know if I can do this alone. I need help. And wouldn't you know it, if you can believe it, there's a David Cage impersonation for y'all. It sucked, I'm sorry. But suddenly this red-haired androgynous kid comes up and says, hey, I know a lot about swords. I bet I could help you make one. And, you know, the kid is regaling the swordsmith about the legendary swords, you know. Yes. I just realized something, Doc.
Yes.
No and no are homophones.
Mm-hmm.
Dang it, Jax. Okay. All right. So, the kid is regaling the swordsmith about all the legendary swords that this kid has knowledge of. And the swordsmith says, you know what? Damn it. And the swordsmith says, all right, let's see what we can do together. And meet back here, bring your tools, we'll talk, and we will make a sword together. Later on that same end, they meet back up, and my Ujigami-sama ends up helping the swordsmith forge a new sword that was called And correct me if I'm wrong on this, Doc. Kogetsu no Maru.
That sounds correct, yes.
Okay.
That's my recollection, yeah.
Please, anyone, if I am wrong, add us at Clara_podcast on Twitter. And hi, Mella. It's hi, one Mella. Word at a time. Don't even think about it. Alright. But amongst other times that Myujigami-sama has appeared unto other people, and even to me, she has appeared as feminine. That said, I know, you know, damn it. Keep on using the banned word. I keep on using the banned word. Ah! Alright. I am taking notes from this, Jax. I will have my revenge. But. An associate of Nairi's and mine has always tended to view my Ujigami-sama and their Ujigami-sama as a they-them. Now, that said, that might have changed. I haven't talked to them in a hot minute. But that's neither here nor there. So, I really have no idea where to go further from that at this time, because I am very frazzled trying to keep up with suddenly my amateur move being outdone by this snap.
the usual snap mischief, I see.
Indeed, indeed. What can I say from someone who is my adopted sister? That said,
I am currently tweeting a link to an Ogata Gekko print of the story that you just told.
Oh, hey, good choice. All right. So. I think one of the things that we should talk about is the one story involving her Augustness and the cave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it has been asked to us in the past that, you know, rightfully, I think, in light of the past, you know, sesquicentury of history in Shinto, how can we... You know, like, what are our feelings about Shinto being used as a tool of reactionary, you know, nationalist, cis-heterosexual nonsense on the part of powers that be in Japan?
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is, like, you know, I don't get me started on the Meiji Restoration, folks. I will go off for, like, ages about this. Those of you who are regulars in here know.
I generally advise that to... I generally ascribe that to your doctoral research, personally.
Correct. My doctoral research and where I used to live. You know, when you live in a place... When you live in the place whose destruction was the... Was the price for the beginning of the so-called restoration? You know, you tend to have a thank you for the follow. You tend to have a jaundiced view about these things.
Oh, but anyway, absolutely.
But anyway, so yes, the restoration. God, what was I going to say? Right, so Shinto and queerness. Here's the thing: the restoration is responsible for a lot of what people take for granted today in terms of what they think is Japanese customs since, or Japanese beliefs since time immemorial. A lot of it only dates to the late 1860s, early 1870s.
Yep.
And one of them is the reshaping of the particularly the lore surrounding Her Augustness Amaterasu Omikami-sama. And it's sort of retooling into a tool for bolstering the claim of imperial legitimacy of the Yamato court, of the imperial court, the modern imperial court. But the thing is, if you know your local folklore, like if like me, you have in your reading or in your studies, if you're an academic like me, if you have this hyper local focus, you quickly find out that that's a very thin veneer.
Absolutely.
Okay? And like if you actually read the stories with a queer perspective in mind, you quickly find that it's a lot more queer than you might imagine, or that might seem at first glance. So, Ame no Uzume no Mikoto, who is not my Ujigami-sama, but is one of the kami-sama who I enshrine, like, not enshrine, but who I represent on my home altar.
Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking about, yeah. And also the 5 minutes are up, Jax.
I know you know, but I'm just for the benefit of those in the audience who are unfamiliar. Ame no Uzume no Mikoto-sama is the kami of the dawn, and she is like, and my favorite depictions of her are as a very full-figured woman, and she is said to be the progenitor of ritual dance and also theater in Japan. But when the light vanished from the world, when the sun goddess Amaterasu Omikami-sama went into the cave of heaven, mm-hmm. Ame no Uzume no Mikoto stripped in front of the assembled kami-sama of the heavens and the earth, and you know, delighted, like, just, you know, fearlessly in her wonderful curves and in her wonderful divine thickness, to which Amaterasu, hearing from inside the cave, poked her head out and went, "What's everybody so excited about? Wow, she's really cute."
Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is just a read from, again, two queer Shintoists. However, I don't think that's an incorrect read. Yeah. Read.
Yeah.
Read.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to mention, you know, this is a whole other, you know, neither your nor my Ujigami-sama, but but Her Augustness herself, in some representations, has a measure of gender fluidity in history. So that's a whole other conversation.
And that's not even talking about Tsukiyomi no Mikoto as well.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
So the middle child in the heavenly trio, we have Amaterasu no Mikoto as the eldest, Susanoo no Mikoto as the youngest, and then in the middle we have Tsukiyomi no Mikoto as the middle child.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
As you can tell, people, I'm still trying to learn Japanese here.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
these are, in the order that I've introduced them, Amaterasu no Mikoto, the sun, Susanoo no Mikoto, the storms and the stars, mm-hmm. and Tsukiyomi no Mikoto, the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a slight appreciation to Tsukiyomi no Mikoto. I wonder why.
I mean, right.
And thank you, Caitlin. The cheers and the praise on my learning really does help. But
Yeah, Mella might have done that. Yeah. And hang on. Mella, let me make a note of that, and can you just tell us what word you wanted to ban?
Yeah. Hit me, Mella. I'm gonna regret this. I know I'm gonna regret this. Stand by, everyone. I have decided to do this live and be tortured for everyone's entertainment and for queer rights in America. Well, specifically trans rights in America.
Okay.
That's gonna be a challenge. Oh,
that's a challenge. That's a challenge given the yeah. I mean, so, if you want. Well, no. I mean, no. Go ahead.
So the Okami of the Moon. Is very much portrayed as able to change between both. And this is, again, just me talking from the observations with other Shintoists and hearing people talk about their own personal experiences with the middle child. Okay. I'm doing this. And I honestly think that's probably another reason why I really do appreciate the Moon Okami. Well, the, you know who I'm talking about.
We know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And boy howdy, Mella, I'm gonna remember this one too. Oh boy. But as I still venerate a lot of these different Okami of different natural phenomena, I find myself appreciating each one, even though they are not my Ujigami. And I have written some very, very beautiful poetry about the moon, and I'm a poet. You can't not write a poem about the moon, folks. It's right? It's like part of the whole, I shall write about nature itself. What is there to look at? You. But a lot of times the Okami that do draw my attention are those that are fluid in identity. And on one end, I think that also just proves to me that we queer people, gender fluid trans people, have always been around.
Yeah.
And I think it is honestly rather distressing that there is this use of our faith, our shared faiths, because this is a lot of different faiths wrapped up into one word called Shinto.
Yeah, Shinto is an umbrella term, for those who are unaware.
And it bothers me. And there is a lot of pushback these days from that, and I'm grateful.
Yeah.
And one of the sects of Shinto that is pushing back, especially these days, is Konkokyo. And yeah. Nairi, please remind me of the Okami, the main Okami that, like, Konkokyo just...
Tenchi Kane no Kami-sama, the Kami of the great universal parent. Like, basically all of totality, literally everything. Yeah, the I think it was in the Gorikai, one of the not, I don't know if I would use the word scriptures, but one of the important texts, I used the word sama. I was not banned from using the word.
Yep, it's only me, folks. I'm the one who is banned from the words because I deserve to be punished for my hubris, everyone.
One of the foundational texts, the collections of the different writings of the particularly the early leaders of the Konkō Daijin sect. Konkō Daijin and his first like couple generations of like the cadres of the founding leaders of Konkōkyō. There's this verse, I can't remember where it was, but it was basically that, yes, we have these shrines in the U.S. They're called churches. We'll leave that conversation for another day. But we have these shrines, but it's not that we're enshrining Tenshi Kane no Kami-sama in these shrines. Because if we were to put Tenshi Kane no Kami-sama like in a divine mirror like we have in a shrine Shinto shrine, then the universe would go dark.
Yes. And
so,
and that in its own right like leads to a different viewpoint on such things. And because of Konkōkyō's very progressive attitudes towards queerness.
Yeah, they're straight up doing like advocacy. Like they're mm-hmm. doing queer advocacy out in the world in Japan and beyond.
Yeah, they are, and they're a really good they're a really good faith on that. And
yeah.
Honestly, there have been times when I have prayed to. And I'm making sure of the timestamp when I say this, everyone. Don't mind me if I stretch for time just a little bit here, because, hey, I can play at this game pretty well, everyone. I was in improv.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was also a theater nerd and a musical nerd, and a lot of different types of nerds at the same time.
Hai, so shite. Yes, and?
So, I have prayed to Tenshi Kane no Kami-sama. And haha.
Mm-hmm.
7 minute mark here, everyone. Alright. Come on, folks. You wanna see me dance around this more? Keep hitting me. I'm good at this.
I maintain a parallel practice myself, and I know that I've talked to folks who are only Konkōkyō, and I've talked to others who, like me, have a parallel practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, the difference in perceptions. Hai, soshite. It's interesting. Saru hodo ni.
So anyway.
So it's interesting, the difference in perceptions when it comes to Tenshi Kane no Kami-sama, because for me, as with a couple of other Konkō folks that I've talked to, their sense of Kami-sama is like this grandma, you know, has the thatched roof cottage at the edge of the field, and you can go and talk to them, and looks like we got another one. Jax, if you're still with us, would you please update us on the word?
Yep. What's the secret word now, folks?
Kami.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Jeez.
Oh, boy. Okay, oh, Doc, boy, I'm going to point to you, and you're going to have to fill in that word for me, okay?
Okay, that's fine. I will be glad to do so. But you know the oba-san, you know, in the thatched roof house at the edge of the field of the, you know, of the tambo, and the first time I ever prayed to Kami-sama, I had this vision of like staggering onto her veranda and sort of crashing. Mm-hmm. And She just glanced over at me and said something to the effect of, "So you've come back from your long adventure, huh?"
So,
and Anyway, so onward.
I guess we're going to be talking about, like, our own experiences with...
With Kami.
Sama.
Kami-sama, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess with mine, I was studying about... Oh, boy. I was studying about IPv4, everyone, and IPv4 protocol, the fact that it still exists in the year of our...
Kami-sama.
2022 drives me up a wall, like, to the point where I sit down, where I lay down in bed, stare at the ceiling, and just dissociate a little. Because, by all means, we shouldn't be using that protocol at all. And yet, somehow, the entirety of the internet still runs... a lot of it on IPv4 because of rationing and weird tricks. And I hate it. I hate it so much. Mm-hmm. And the moment that I realized that, I just had this vision to myself of how absurd and maddening and empty the world can be.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately afterwards... I was greeted by... Doc, help. Doc, help.
Do you want me to say the full name?
Sure, yes. Please.
Inari Okami-sama.
Not that one, actually. That's a different story. We may get to that one, but not yet.
Are you thinking of her Augustus?
Oh, no.
Are you thinking of the Konkokyo one?
Yes.
Kami-sama.
Yes. And they were just dressed up very plain, very fine, though, and said, "Hey, you should be a little more gentle with yourself about this kind of thing. Do not try to comprehend the entirety of the universe all at once."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I took that to heart. That's a good way to overwhelm yourself, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since then, I've had some parallel practice with Konkokyo as well.
I honestly
should probably reach out and pray to...
Kami-sama.
More often, though I do pray to my Ujigami a lot.
Mm. As I do to mine.
Mm-hmm.
Really, if anything, I feel like I feel like it's separate, but for me, it's separate, but it blurs sometimes, you know? Because it's like, Konkokyo is, in some respects, preserving an older understanding of Shinto that was not touched by the restoration as much. It's interesting to me as a historian, and particularly as someone who has immersed herself, like, in the absence of the ability to go to my home shrine, I have immersed myself in whatever material, whatever historical material I can about my home shrine, and some of the practices that are no longer extant remind me of some of the things that are done in Konkokyo, but you know, we have to do our due diligence here, and we have to understand that, you know, they're not the same thing. Shrine Shinto and sect Shinto are not the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
So, together, you know, but separate.
Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of this conversation, especially this episode on Shinto, is us talking about our queerness and how it informs our faith.
Yeah. Yeah, and generally speaking, you know, we're going to, you know, you and I are going to have that sort of mentality, regardless of the subject at hand, because, you know, that's sort of how we've approached this.
Oh,
and it's interesting to me to think about how I have. Yeah, and I know that you have also, as well, encountered surprise and even resistance in queer circles that are not Shinto as to, you know, how can you, a queer person, have a religious affiliation?
And I look at most of those people dead in the eye, and I say, hey, leave me and my Okami out of this. And also, that was the 5-minute mark, everyone. I keep track.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me that, like, I can understand the perspective of, you know, queer folk, particularly in the United States, who have been so badly wounded by conservative Christianity and its anti-queerness. Like, that's legit. Both of us are survivors as well.
Absolutely, and I honestly want to say on that same end, there are still probably Japanese queer people who have somewhat of the same feelings towards Buddhism and Shinto because of that.
Yeah, and that's valid.
It is. It absolutely is.
But at the same time, I would encourage queer folk out there who might be quick to judge to stop and consider, like, think about the parts of, like, Christian cultural hegemony in North America that have entangled themselves into how you view something.
Yes.
The baseline assumptions.
How it permeates everything you've been in. Even like most atheism these days, especially in especially in the Anglosphere here, do reek of Christianity and Christian trauma.
Yeah. And, you know, this is not to invalidate the trauma, because, again, you and I are both survivors. Mm-hmm. We know this stuff. But
it is also
really
still very, like, it is an attempt to control a narrative without actually hearing another narrative.
Exactly.
And as a queer person, I think both you and I have felt that a lot, regardless of religious affiliation or anything.
Yeah.
Especially as queer women. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
If I have to deal with another person actually into my mentions, I don't even deal with it anymore. It's just like, all right, block.
Yeah, I'm sick to death of this stuff. It's like mm-hmm. Leave me alone.
On a lot more of a frisky day, it's just like, was I talking to you? Then block.
Exactly. Like, honestly, it's staggering. And it misses the point also in that, look, it's entirely valid also if, like, as with some folks that I've recently been speaking to, you just had no idea that there were Shintoists outside of Japan. Right?
Oh, yes.
You know, that's valid. Like,
oh boy, that's
if you're
valid.
Like, holy shit, I had no idea you existed. Like, hello, good to meet you. Sit down, let's talk.
Well, thank God, another person.
Right, exactly. But like, if you're gonna say, well, actually, I, as a, you know, whatever, you know better than you, or, well, actually, this, like, you, like, please, back off. And if I, you know, if I can give an example from my own life, like the influence of my spirituality on my queerness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I converted before I was out, long before I was out.
Yeah.
Like, years and years. This isn't to say that I didn't know that something was up, but I feel like I had, like, for me, converting had and rebuilding a worldview allowed me to have a worldview in which queerness was an option.
And I think that's a necessary step for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
And for some people it goes the other way around, and that's
like
fine.
Me.
But like for me, yeah. But like for me, like that came first.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, having that archetype, right, of the mother in battle, right? and thinking, that's what I want to be, and I don't know why.
Like, and I guess going back with my setup here, and me coming out on a podcast as a gender fluid being, I actually had to sit down and just grapple with the fact that I still wanted to be this mutable, this primordial in a way, this able to say, I want to put on a sports bra that is going to compress my chest and make sure that I can present masculine instead of feminine. And don't even get me wrong, I do like my push-up bras, but this is nice too. There's nothing going on here. See? But when I grappling with my queerness as a trans woman first, and then finding God again, and God in air quotes here, because Okami-sama.
Right.
But finding my faith again as a queer woman was a powerful moment for myself. And I guess if we're gonna sit down and talk about the stories when we had that moment of conversion and everything. So, I was back in Utah. I was working at a dead-end customer service job as a call center rep. And I was working for a voice-over IP company, and I'm not going to go any further into that because I'm not sure if the NDA is over or not. Got to keep myself honest there. But it was a day. I had a manager who was, to put it as politely as I can, and because this is a hopefully family-friendly stream.
Most days. Well, we try.
We try, especially in the podcast. Save the New Year's episode. Twitch approved agave juice. Yep. But I ended up going up to this guy, this manager, and I said, hey, what you said was very hurtful, and I think I deserve some respect. And he turned to me in his fury and said, I don't give a flip what you, I don't give a flip what you think you deserve. And I'm out, a trans woman, in Utah, looking down this cishet guy, and I'm just like, excuse me? The floor manager comes up and is like, hey, let's just break this up. Why don't we walk it out? And then she's like escorting me out. Escorting me to aside, let's say. Because out is the wrong word here. And she says to me, why don't you just let it all out? And so I did. I ran and I flying jump kicked through a wall.
Oh yeah, I remember this story.
Yeah. And as I sit down and I just say, that just happened. They're sending me home. Oh no, I'm probably going to get fired. I finally just have this moment where it's just like, I guess I have some time to sit down and see about trying to get some rice offered and reach out to this being who has caught my interest. And as I go, I buy myself some rice. I'm in the middle of this Asian grocery store, and next to this red van, Utah winter in the valleys where it doesn't snow that often in Utah. And I have this little bit of a breakdown, and I say to myself, what am I doing? I am losing my mind about this here, and I have no way to see where I'm going. And then I finally say, hey, I am so sorry if my behavior reflected badly upon you. To O nari okami, huka no mitama no okami sama. And then suddenly, without any fanfare, without any bluster, without any wind, this heavy snowflake just lands on my nose. And I just stop and realize, oh, it's going to be okay. She is telling me it is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I have been on this ride for 4 years. Oh no. Time is time is moist, everyone.
Time is moist, and reality is wrong.
Mm-hmm. But I have been involved in this faith. I have been involved in this space of other English-speaking Shintoists. And this is where I have met one of my best friends ever. And at this exact moment, she and I are recording a podcast here where I am torturing myself by banning myself from words for $10 per donation for the Transgender Law Center.
It's been a wild ride, hasn't it, friend?
It has.
It really has been something.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's been much longer, but wow. 4 years, huh?
Yep. And I mean, you and I started talking about 2 years ago. Officially.
That's true. Officially, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. If I might offer sort of a two-faceted counterpart to that.
By all means.
So, as I said, I converted first. Mm-hmm. And then I came out. But I was not looking to convert. I should say that up front. In fact, I was very much lost when I was in Sendai 17 years ago. 17 years ago this autumn, this September. And, fourth, fifth generation heir to a long line of Armenian Protestant clergy. But it was always, church was always just this empty shell. It was these empty motions. And just like, I knew somehow that there was something out there that I was looking for, and I didn't know what it was. So I went to Sendai for one of my college semesters, and it was this one day I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to start walking. So I started walking, and I hit up a couple shrines along the way, because I was exploring different shrines in the area. And I had this vague intention of going to Osaki Hachiman Shrine, which is across town in Alba Ward. It's this historic shrine, it's very big, it's a national treasure site. The carvings were done by a legendary 17th century sculptor. So it's just majestic. And so I didn't know any of that going in. I was just looking to go to a festival, right? Shrine festival.
Always a good time.
Festival of the year. It's the liveliest, one of the liveliest times of the year for in the life of a shrine.
Oh, absolutely.
So I went to a Buddhist temple next door first. I didn't know that historically, before the restoration, that was the Betto. That was the temple that did the shrine affairs. Because back then, the lines were blurred.
Yep.
And then I go through the tree line, up an incline, through one of the side torii, and all of a sudden, she was there. I was 21. And the thing that I had been, the presence that I had been looking for all those years of praying and not really feeling anything. And then she was there. She was everywhere. It's not that I saw anyone. It's that, like, the thing, the presence, to use one of my favorite author's words, the shadow of a mighty presence, was there. in the spaces between my heartbeats, in the breeze between the cryptomeria trees, the sounds of the crowd, just like the gagaku from the shrine hall. Just she was there, and I just stood there for the longest time, and I just sobbed. I found you. I found you. And yeah, I date my conversion to that day, inasmuch as I tried and failed to make it work as a Christian for a couple years yet. You know, that was just empty motions. Like, in my heart of hearts, the thing that came naturally was this.
Yeah.
And
it's surprising how natural that feels.
Yeah, it just, like, I didn't have to force anything. It just, like, and people will ask me, and they've asked you, I know they've asked you too, like, I want to convert, what kami should I venerate? Like, that's not usually how it works.
And you're just sitting there, and you're just like, okay, kid, let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
As, again, you are uncorking a bottle of Twitch-approved juice.
Twitch-approved rice juice.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking, like, oh, man, where do I even begin? But, you know, a few years after that, when I had just come to Pittsburgh for grad school, I had a vision of Himekami-sama. And at that point, I was still unlearning a lot of the learned Christian reactions to being in the presence of the divine.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I panicked. And I sort of threw myself on the ground face down, and I heard her go, look me in the eye when you speak to me, child.
Jax, I see you, and oh my god. Knock that off. For audio sake here, my sister has asked, but I need to know which kami is optimal for my build.
I mean, you know, again, there's a conversation to be had there, but...
Screaming.
But anyway, the other half of this, like, that has more directly to do with my queerness. When I basically knew what I had going on, but I was scared to admit it.
Oh, that fun time of your life.
I was at a dentist appointment, of all things. I was asleep in the chair, because what else am I going to do, you know?
Mm.
It's nothing else to do. And I had this dream of being in the garage of one of my cousin's homes in Canada, but it was a garage and also part workspace. Mm. And out of the darkness steps Ame no Uzume, Kami of the Dawn, and says to me, I will teach you to dance. And there's a very specific part of the repertoire from Noel. It's not the standard Noel. It's not the comedic Kyogen. Shikisanban. I think it's part of the Shikisanban repertoire, which is not like theater pieces. Like, it's not like serious theater pieces, and it's not comedic theater pieces. It's, we have to open the, like, it's, we're doing this at the new year, or we're opening a big multi-part play series for the next several days, and we're gonna do this first so that the kami are happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's this dance from the Shikisanban called Futari Okina. It's this dance of fortune where two dancers dressed as an okina, as one of the elder gods of fortune, do a dance of good fortune. And so I danced the Futari Okina with Ame no Uzume, and then she disappeared into a cloud of light. And when I laughed, it was with a feminine voice.
Yeah.
And I woke up and I thought, oh no. Oh no. That wasn't the night my egg cracked. My egg cracked in the middle of a driving thunderstorm on April 8th, 2011, but that's a different story.
That said, Donk and everything, I guess this dream certainly beats the the normal routine of being at a dentist. You know the drill. Yep. Had to get a pun in anyway.
I mean, you know how we roll around here. So, you know, it's things like this, though, that really, I think, underline, you know, sort of to bring it full circle here. It's things like this that underline, I think, for both of us, you know, in each in our own way, the role of our spirituality in having intersected with and informed how we have approached discovering ourselves as queer people and standing up and claiming that identity in the face of a hostile world.
Oh, absolutely, and everything. And I don't feel afraid anymore about anything. I can look the challenges that are coming towards me, and I say a prayer, and most of the time my prayer is to my Ujigami-sama. Oh, Kanomitama no Okami-sama, please just make me equal to the task ahead. And that's all I need. And a lot of this, us coming from these very religious backgrounds, finding a faith that actually makes sense to us on an emotional, spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of our queer identity.
Yeah, you really can't, like, I worry sometimes, again, with some of these folks who want to shut down any mention of religion in queer spaces. Like, you have to understand, this is entwined with who I am.
Exactly. And
it informs, it intersects. It's not something that's like, it's not like I'm going to church, like I'm going to shrine every Sunday.
Oh, good heavens, no. Hey, Doc, where's the nearest Hachimanokami shrine where you're at?
If you can believe it, American Samoa.
I can believe it.
It hasn't been active since the very early 1940s, but,
That's another story altogether. We'll leave that elsewhere.
But in all fairness, probably the nearest active Hachiman shrine is going to be somewhere in northern Hokkaido.
Yep. And in my case, the nearest one to me is Shusenari out in L.A.
Yeah.
So, honestly, a lot of the times I'm still just praying at the Kamidama, making sure my shrine fees are paid to the home shrine, and getting the Ofuda, replacing it yearly, dealing with my co-leader. But it's just how that is. And honestly, I don't think there's anything wrong with having faith when you're queer.
Yeah.
That said, Doc, I think we've definitely gotten a little over our time here and everything. Yeah, I'm down to just chat a little more.
Yeah. I am definitely down to chat a little more. Would you like to do that without recording, or?
Yes, let's go for the outro.
So let's do the outro here. Folks, thank you for listening to Clara episode 6. We will come up with a title when we upload the episode, so please excuse us for now.
Actually, happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Yes, well, that's what we'll call it. Yeah, Clara episode Pride. 6, recorded live on Twitch. Happy Pride. Thank you for your listenership. Thank you for your readership. Thank you for your donations to the Transgender Law Center. And Zoe, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, you can definitely find me at fox_named_Zoe on twitter.com. You can definitely find me on my poetry channel, which the link will be in the stream here. You can also find me a tormenting girl stream team anytime that they let me ban a word. Love you, Jax.
And you can find me at Riverside Wings on Twitter, Twitch, Patreon. I am currently in the middle of overhauling some things. There's going to be some new perks rolling out for the higher tiers. I'm trying to get back into reading, folks, and I think it would definitely be a greater incentive if, rather than make myself read and not really get anywhere, it was a perk that I was offering to my dear patrons. So you can find me on there, and I am on here on Twitch multiple times in a week, and very often topics on Shinto do come up along the way. So I hope to see you around soon, and we will be back next month with our next episode.
And we will see you then.